What do you like about reading, Andrew?
I like when what you're reading tells you what it's going to do and then it delivers on its promise. Like, Andrew, this is going to be sad. And then you read it and you get to the last paragraph and you're just like, and you catch yourself and it tells you exactly what it's going to do. And then it does it.
And no one's sitting around you in the subway anymore.
Because, absolutely not. You know, crying giant man clears the way on the subway.
It's true.
Everybody, welcome to the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast, where we take a look at what's too hot, what's too cold, and what's just right with a self-published work. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal.
And Crystal, what did we read this week?
This week we read Angel Fall, Penryn and the End of Days, Book 1 by Susan E.
And how did we find this book?
I've been doing some searching on the Google.
Some Googling?
Some Googling.
If only that was a word.
I think. And I came across the cover, which appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young adult book, but it had more of an adult cover, and I think that's sort of very deliberately done. But I was drawn to it. It had a just an incredible amount of 5-star reviews, and so I thought I would give it a read.
And we're reading the first book, and what we're going to do through the next couple podcasts is go through the rest of the series and really talk about not just the too hot, too cold, just right for that particular book, but also how that changes our viewpoint of the book previous, right?
Yes. And the only reason why we're not doing the third book right now is because it's not out yet.
Yeah, so we will have to figure out the timing.
Even though I was clawing at my computer screen trying to retrieve it.
You enjoyed this book.
I did, very much.
What's it about?
I was just going to say, I will tell you what it's about. It's about a 17-year-old girl named Penryn. And she is living in a post-apocalyptic world where the angels have actually come to, on God's word, to basically destroy mankind for their sins. But the angels seem to be working on their own. And first seen in the book, Penryn's younger sister, who's in a wheelchair, gets taken away by an angel. And she spends the rest of the book searching for her because she loves her sister very much, and her sister's pretty defenseless considering she can't use her legs.
That's an interesting twist on the original kind of, you know, the apocalypse will be led by evil.
Yes, and it's very interesting because there's a big play on the angels hate humans and humans hate angels, but there is, of course, a delicious love story between Penryn and this mysterious angel that she saves.
It wouldn't be YA without it.
No, it would not.
Tell me a little bit more about Penryn.
She is, again, she's 17. She's very funny at times, but she's also very family oriented in that her main focus in this book is to find her younger sister, and mm-hmm. there's literally nothing anybody can do to prevent her from finding her sister, even though she knows chances are her sister is not alive.
And you have sisters yourself, so you understand that bond.
Oh, absolutely. And it does actually make you think because, you know, we have the added element, which I thought was brilliant, that her sister doesn't have the use of her legs and they have to push her in a wheelchair. And when you're running from stuff,
yeah,
when you have to push someone in a wheelchair, like that just adds to the tension. But you know, the unwavering belief that you need to go and find your sibling or your family member because you cannot let anything bad happen to them is a pretty powerful thing.
And this character really speaks to you. And I'm going to speak on your behalf for a moment.
Thank you. Yes, I got a cough.
Yeah, go ahead. Because we just had a hiatus and you were out seeing one of your sisters who lives on one of the coasts of Canada. And you survived 10 days and a meter of snow, 3 feet for those of you who are still in Imperial.
Yeah, it's interesting going sightseeing and really just seeing snowbanks.
Well, that's how we got to read this book.
It's true. On the way home, I started reading it and immediately connected with it.
And what was too hot? What was there just a little bit too much of?
This is going to be super picky, but it's something that probably because I do it, but it jerks me and makes me reread the sentence.
Yeah.
But there were a few places where there were repetitive words.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is you have one sentence, let's say, you know, Andrew picked up the pen with his hands. Mm-hmm. And then the next sentence is, he turned the pen in his hand and looked at it from a different angle. So the repetitive use of hands where you could have not used the, you could have left the word out or you could have used another word. And that always jars me because I try so hard not to have repetitive words.
I confess I don't write as much as I used to, you know, mostly emails nowadays, but even then I'll catch myself start and end a sentence with the same word.
Yes.
So like, thank you very much for doing this because this is really important. So thank you. And it's just like, why did I do that?
And you don't need it.
It's, and how do you catch that as a writer?
It's a lot of, and this is a super picky thing to be quite honest.
But it happened enough times to jump out at you.
Yeah. And I know that. So for example, in my first novel, my, my mentor said that I used smile a lot. And I was like, no, I don't. So I did a find all for smiles. And when you have like 1,000 smiles or smile, he smiled.
In an 80,000 word book. You probably,
want to change that up a little bit. Yeah. Or I use the word, I use sentence structures the same, in the same way where it would be blah, 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 as he or as she, blah, 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 blah. And if you use that too often, it jolts the reader and it's like, well, we've heard that already.
Yeah, it's formulaic.
Yeah, and when something's too much of a pattern, you don't want that to happen to your reader because then they start picking up on your on the way you write, but it's not as smooth as it could be.
Is there a way to do that and as a writer kind of make that like that repetitive nature or that sentence structure like bury that into either a character's, the way that they speak? Because you would do that for a character if they had a very specific speech pattern. Or, part two of my question.
Yes,
go on. Is it also something where you can kind of do like a sly wink to the reader where it's like, I caught you catching me kind of thing? Like, is there maybe a purpose for that kind of a turn of phrase?
I think it's very, first of all, either of those options are very tricky to accomplish.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would take me a lot of work to do that. Mm-hmm. And it might come easier to other people, but personally, it would take me a while to do that and get it just right. Because you do run the risk of, if you're using it as a character's way of thinking or way of speaking, you run the risk of annoying the reader if it's overdone. Like we've had several discussions on things that characters say where you're like, ah, please stop.
Yeah, the grating nature of repetition. If not done well, it's a net detractor. It's like it's high risk, low reward sometimes.
And I feel like that's my answer to a lot of things. But that's basically what writing...
High risk, low reward.
Yeah. Well, this was great, but didn't feel good.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, writing is so... is something that you need to work on, and you would need to mold whatever it is that you're working on to use repetitive words, and make sure that it energized the manuscript as opposed to detracted from.
Yeah. That's really tricky.
Yeah.
What was too cold? What was there not enough of in this book?
The beginning was a little cold for me in that, and this is completely opposite of my usual reaction. We started off with action pretty much right away.
Okay.
But I found that because we started with the action, we didn't really get to dive deeply into the world enough, and then we were off and running. So I actually was questioning how long had the angels been there? How many, you know, it seemed like the world was completely, you know, buildings were burned, people were killing each other, gangs had formed. That seems like a couple of months, but this read like it was only a couple of weeks. So because the beginning was so fast and there's a benefit to that, I was left wanting a little bit more at the beginning of, okay, where are we? How long have these characters been in this situation? And that would have really filled out the beginning couple of chapters for me.
So you're saying there wasn't enough world building when really this book is entirely dependent on the world that's pre-built from page one?
I think so. When you write your first page, you need to answer the who, what, where, when, why, and how.
Okay.
I'm generalizing, but, you know, within that first chapter, that has to, and if not all those questions, at least the pertinent ones. And if you're going to put it in a world that's Earth, but something has happened, mm-hmm. I want to know how much time it's been, and it needs to make sense in my mind. Because if, let's say, an angel knocked on our door today mm-hmm. and was like, hey there, both of you are going to die now.
You know, I'd have some questions.
A little, few, couple.
I'd be like, I want to at least read the first page.
Yes.
Hold on, Mr. Angel.
Well, that doesn't happen in the book. But, I'm saying, mm-hmm. you know, there's a time from when first angel lands, something happens. I don't want to ruin that plot point because it's pretty cool. And then chaos ensues. Mm-hmm. How long has this chaos ensued so that, you know, the characters are really hungry, they're in rags, they're hiding out in a building that's been, you know.
Yeah.
I kept getting the sense that it was a couple of weeks, but in my mind, it didn't quite match up.
See, that's where you and I differ, because I actually would not consider this to be a cold. I would almost consider it to be just right for me. You know the types of things that I like in the types of books where it's like, I like when you jump right into it and you're right into the action and you want to know what? I'm not sure these people know exactly how many days have passed since the beginning of the end of days, where it's like, is it Tuesday the 21st or is it Wednesday the 22nd? I'm not 100%. Like, there's that lack of awareness in the person who's in the book, the characters.
Then leave time out of it completely.
Yeah, okay.
Because...
And that's interesting you should say that, because generally the books that I like that do that very well, like a Douglas Copeland and a couple of others, like Fight Club does that, where you just...
A little bit different than my young adult.
But it's the same principle in terms of how they treat time. They don't. Like, how long is Fight Club? How long is Rorschach text? Like, how and long it, are these? How long is any Kurt Vonnegut book?
It's only when you bring it up that it then becomes a question, right? Yeah. So
don't bring it up.
Right.
Cool. Right. What was just right? There's so many things here.
All of it. I wrote that on the paper. I don't think that's an appropriate response.
I don't think people need to know that we prepare, because it never sounds like we prepare.
It's true. Well, no, it's just a note for myself. It says all of it.
Well, break it down. Give me a top three in no particular order.
Despite the beginning, I did love the action in this book. It was a nonstop, fast-paced. It's very much what I love to read and I love to write, which is probably why I was drawn to it so much.
It is a similar topic to what you've written.
It is as well. I loved Penryn. I'm not 17 anymore, but she was funny and her thought process was amusing. She was a fighter because of
she's a 17-year-old girl.
17. but her mom made her, you know, I know. I'm just going to talk over
here. Yes, please. As always.
Her mom made her learn how to fight for various reasons, which I won't ruin. So she comes prepackaged as this tough girl who doesn't necessarily think through a plan, but she will risk her own life to save others. And I hope it doesn't mean she ends up dead at the end, because it would break my heart.
Well, we're only in the first book. There's still two more podcasts to do.
So stressful. The male protagonist that she saves, and then they end up sort of making a deal, and even though they dislike each other, or supposed to dislike each other, go off to find her sister. He was just very well written, complete, you know, just, you know, the gorgeous guy that, oh, you know.
And he can fly.
Yes.
And
well,
he's immortal.
He's immortal. He comforts her when he needs her, even though...
Plays the harp.
You know, no, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, he has a loft apartment in the clouds.
he's got the penthouse.
Every 17-year-old girl's dream boat.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. Her mother is a super interesting character. The characters are really fleshed out very well.
Yeah.
And then you add that with a really cool plot and fast-paced action. And to me, and it's done right and well,
mm-hmm.
that to me makes the perfect novel. Because I read it, I finished it as I landed in Toronto from Nova Scotia.
That was what, like a 2.5 hour?
Three and a half.
With a stopover. Wow. Yeah. So that, everybody, was Angel Fall, Penryn, and The End of Days, which, by the way, would make a great punk band. Penryn and The End of Days is playing at the Spotlight. By Susan E. That's double E. And where can we find the book, Crystal?
The book is on Amazon, which mm-hmm. is where I found it.
Who do you recommend reads this type of book?
I am not a 17-year-old girl.
Okay.
I was going to say my age, but then I decided not to at the last second. I'm older than that, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Again, the cover is a little more adult, and so I think, and in fact, most of the comments that I saw were from adults. So it would be a combination of 17-year-olds. It is a little dark, and adults.
And where can you find us?
We are at www.everythingstemporary.com.
Yep.
We are on iTunes, Goldilocks and the Three Cares.
Keep going.
YouTube.
Where are we on YouTube?
Everything's Temporary.
Everything's Temporary. Go.
We are on Facebook, Everything's Temporary. And we are on Twitter, @everythingstemp.
Excellent. Well, everybody, that was the Goldilocks and the Three Cares podcast. We hope you enjoyed. If you like what you heard, share, subscribe, tell a friend, or send us a note. Let us know what you're reading, or even authors. Please reach out to us and request a review. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Crystal. Until next time, keep reading.
Do you ever get the feeling that Penryn is like the sound that like an evil chicken would make? Ah, Penryn!
It's actually the name of a city. Or a street or something.
Way to poop on my point.